All right, we're here with DeMarcus Cousins watching the little NBA playoffs on a Sunday. What you been doing this offseason?
Nothing much. Getting off my feet, trying to get healthy. I did my first round of shockwave treatment in L.A., and it was successful. My feet are feeling better, already, and I think I got 3 more sessions of it, and, I'll be ready to go. So just relaxing.
How long was that messing with you, the feet?
Entire season.
Yeah.
It gradually happened. Each season is gotten worse. So, this season was just to the point where sometimes, I just couldn't even, after games, I couldn't even move.
Really?
Through this whole season, only way I could play was on pain medicine. So, every game I'm doped up to play.
See, I don't know how the NBA works, but I noticed the injury reports all the time with Rajon would have some, I don't even know how to pronounce it, in the shoulder, a turf toe or whatever, and you weren't really on the injury report that much. How did that work? Because it seems like you were injured off and on.
I mean, me and Pete, we kind of had our agreement. We kind of knew the situation. We knew what it was, and I already had a plan, going into the offseason.
Sure.
So I knew I was going to play through it, throughout the season. And, so it was never a situation where I'd be like, Pete, I'm missing the game because of my feet, So that was never the case.
27-11, though, on a hurt foot. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean and your foot hasn't been 100% in a couple of years, huh?
Nah, it hasn't. So I'm looking forward to having a healthy season.
What do you try to do in the off season? How long do you really unplug for?
It's hard for me. Bad thing is I shouldn't even be saying this, but I got my treatment and. I was supposed to completely shut down.
Right.
I went play ball today. So it's hard for me. I love the sport. I love to play the game. And I always just get that itch. And if I just sit around too long, I just get a bad vibe. I get a bad feeling over my body. I start feeling bummy.
So right.
I can never sit out too long. So, but that's something that's been stressing me a lot where I just, I need to relax. I need to sit down and just let my body heal.
Well, that's a thought. You got, hopefully, knock on wood, the Olympics coming up in a few months, and then you got mm-hmm. the season. So at some point, you might need to get tied to a chair or something.
Yeah, something like that. But I think I'm taking, the right steps right now to get healthy. And as of right now, that's the most important thing for me.
Is there anything you do, just get away? I know you travel sometimes in the off season. I was wondering a while back. I know sometimes athletes have things in their contract that they can't do that they want. Mm-hmm. You get to still have some fun. Is there some stuff you'd like to do that you can't?
Man, honestly, I'm the most chill, boring guy ever.
Really?
The most peaceful and relaxing day and most fun day for me, I sit up in here and watch movies all day. That's a fun day for me, just to be able to relax and
right.
just enjoy myself and not be DeMarcus Cousins. I can just sit in my house and be DeMarcus,
right.
So that's a good day for me. But really my way of getting away is probably going back home.
Sure.
Those people know me. I can go home and be myself. I don't have to be a celebrity or whatever I'm perceived as. I can just go home and be myself and I'll be accepted.
What's the best movie you've seen in the last year?
Best movie?
Or at least one that jumped out. I know that's hard because you probably see a lot of movies, but.
I did.
You see the new Deadpool? Everyone's talking
I
about Deadpool.
Like it.
You didn't like it?
I did not like it.
You're the one. I haven't seen it yet, but everybody's told me to see Deadpool.
I did not.
No?
Like it. No.
Okay.
Batman versus Superman was all right.
Was it good?
It was all right.
Because I don't understand how Batman would have a chance against Superman.
I don't either.
So I don't understand the premise of the movie at all.
Yeah, but it was all right. I don't know. Boys in Hood was good, but I don't know. I think I've been caught up in a lot of shows lately, like series.
Really?
Yeah, I was probably saying my most favorite series right now is How to Get Away with Murder.
What's that on?
It's on it's on ABC, I believe. Yeah.
Really?
It's the dopest show ever.
I think I read like Game of Thrones starts tonight too. Are you into that?
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Me neither. Everybody, you seriously?
I see a lot of people talking about it, but I never watch.
We're the only two people in the world that don't watch it. Here's the thing. I tried to watch like 6 episodes of it, and they killed off like one of the main characters, and I was done with it. I don't like watching stuff that makes me sad. There's like no point.
Yeah, but you have to check out How to Get Away with
Murder. How to Get Away with Murder?
Yeah.
My wife's got me watching Castle right now, which I'm admitting openly and freely that I watch Castle on ABC, which is kind of...
I never heard of that either.
No, it's a mystery. Like, you know, the murder happens. It's a cop. It's a dude. They go out. They solve crimes and stuff. How to Get Away with Murder, is that like a reality thing or is that a show?
No, it's
like,
not a reality thing. Okay. It's a series, but it's... keeps your mind twisting. Right. And it's always some type of new turn in the show. So,
what's your favorite movie ever?
Favorite movie
is that
ever?
Even tougher?
Man.
Yeah.
Paid in Full.
Okay.
Boys in the Hood.
Okay. See that NWA movie that came out?
NWA was dope.
Yeah.
That's what I meant earlier.
Straight out of Compton.
I said Boys in the Hood.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Boys in the Hood is old school with Larry Fishburne.
Yeah.
Which was a great movie, by the way.
Shot Us. A lot of people don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
Shot Us is dope.
Really?
Yeah. I actually like The Notebook, too.
Hey, listen, I can't hate on that. I think probably somebody will, but I can't hate on that.
The Notebook was a dope movie.
I haven't seen it, but I know it was, I mean, that was pretty deep, right?
Yeah, it was
and
deep.
Sad?
Yeah, but it was a good movie.
That's, Rachel McAdams and what's his face?
I don't even know the character's name, but
yeah. Okay, all right, okay. I remember asking you earlier this year what your favorite Disney movie was, and everyone said Lion King.
Yeah.
Because Simba.
Yeah.
And you said Aladdin because Jasmine was a dime, I think was the question.
So bad.
When do you find out if you make the team?
June.
Okay.
Sometime in late June, something like that.
You've been working towards this for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get the phone call, let's hope, and you're on the team. I mean, what's that going to mean to you?
Super excited. I mean, this is, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Everybody can say, you know, they got to play for Team USA.
Sure.
So, for me to be able to do that, that'd be a huge accomplishment. So, that's definitely something I want to, you know, at the end of my career, I want to be able to say I did that. So,
it's been a few years, though. I mean, it's a commitment.
It is.
You can't just go and do it.
It is. It's a serious commitment.
How would you assess the season?
Oh, man. Rough.
Yeah.
Rough. Extremely disappointing. I'm at the point now, man, where winning is my only goal.
Sure.
You know, I'm tired of the BS. I'm tired of the politics behind. I'm tired of the stuff out of our control. I just want to go out there and play basketball.
Right.
Like, at the end of the day, let's just go play basketball. Everybody across the bench on the same page.
Does it amaze you how, you know, you grew up playing basketball, how the tiniest little perceived things these days, once you hit the NBA, the media, everything gets just blown up.
It is. But it depends. It depends how they want the storyline to go. I mean, it could be a negative thing and it can go in a positive way.
Sure.
Or vice versa. So, just depends. But, I mean, coming up playing basketball, you don't learn those things. There's no way to really get prepared for that, you know? So, I mean, you coming up and you think, it's just about going out there playing basketball.
Sure.
But playing basketball is probably 1% of it.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, you're in a microscope.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough.
We're watching playoffs right now, and I know you're going to cringe when I ask you this, but you know, 6 years in the league, I mean, how – you see Isaiah Thomas playing with Boston. We were just talking about Detroit before we started talking. It's got to eat at you. To be watching this instead of sweating.
It does, man. It's the worst feeling ever. Every season, you know, ending early. It's a terrible feeling. I mean, you bust your ass to, you know, become this type of player, and you just, well, for me, I can't speak for the next person. I constantly kill myself. How can I improve? How can I get better? What can I add to my game? What can I take away from my game? Like, what's it going to take to, you know, get to that next step and, like, just continue to, where you just continue to fail. It's a terrible feeling, but at the same time, it makes you want it that much more.
Sure.
So it's the worst feeling ever, honestly.
I wonder if players ever think like fans. Like, you know, I talk to a lot of fans constantly because I am one, and I look at the internet boards and all that. Right now, the big subject is that Isaiah goes for 42 the other day, and we basically traded him for a ham sandwich. You know? And I mean, that's somebody you played alongside with. Yeah. Are you allowed to think that way in your head as a fan? I mean, do you get frustrated at stuff like that?
That's the part where I was talking about earlier, where the stuff that you can't control happens. Like, how can I have some type of effect? Like, what can I do to stop that or prevent that from happening? Or, no, that's going to happen the next year. Or,
sure.
Like, how can I control that? And that's the part that eats at me.
Do you ever wonder, and again, this is something you couldn't, so this might be the same answer. You know, do you ever allow yourself to wonder what things would have been like if Coach Malone was still here? Can you even let yourself go down and wander down that road?
I don't know exactly how it would have been.
Yeah.
We've been a playoff team.
Yeah.
Playoff team. The thing about that is it was one goal in mind at the end of the day, winning games. And the way that team was structured, the way we were, the way the foundation was set for that team, that collective group, I believe it was done the right way. I mean, of course it didn't show on paper, but we were taking the right steps. Everything, it's never going to happen overnight, you know.
Right.
So, but I believe we were making the right steps and we were in the right direction. Crumble.
I want people to understand a little bit more about, you know, it's not rocket science necessarily with you and coaches, though most probably think it is, and with Coach Malone. And I could be wrong here, but I heard a story once that you and he didn't always it wasn't always hearts and flowers. That
absolutely not.
He I think he said to you one day, it was talking about whether or not you were a Max guy, and you said something like, you know, I had to Google you to figure out who the heck you were, or something like that. You guys went at it.
Yeah.
Point being, you guys could go at it, but there was something there that came out of that with a respect level for you.
And that's what I've been quoted saying this before. We don't have to like each other.
Yeah.
We don't have to love each other. We don't have to be best friends. Let's get the job done. That's all that matters. We can figure out the rest of that later.
Sure.
Let's get the job done. Let's win these games. That's all that matters. That's it.
When you go into this offseason talking about respect from coaches, Coach Carl made that comment, anyone's tradable. And some people took that as face value. 29-win team, anybody's tradable. But they weren't on the inside. Why did that bother you so much?
Just that, what you said, they aren't on the inside.
And sure.
It's a lot of things that have been done that haven't been reported. It's a lot of things that were, you know, they were attempted behind closed doors.
Sure.
But it hasn't been reported. And I have a group of guys that have worked very closely with another group of guys.
Sure.
We know what's going on behind closed doors.
Sure. Sure.
And that's the part that really irritated me. Coming in, it was so much from a guy that wasn't even here yet.
Right.
It was just chaos from a guy I never met, never spoke to, anything. It was chaos. Ty Corbin was my coach.
Right.
But it was chaos with a whole nother guy.
Right.
So,
it's frustrating.
It's That's the best way. But it's very frustrating.
I understand.
Frustrating. That's like. I'm a straight shooter. Like, I don't beat around the bush. I don't tell people when they want to hear. I'm very honest. I'm very blunt. I expect the same from me. Like, feel a certain type of way, tell me.
So, I mean, it seems like you'd rather, if you're dealing with, let's say, a coach, you'd be more comfortable and more likely to respect that person if he stopped you and said, go f*** yourself, you're wrong, than somebody who says one thing, interprets one thing, and then you start hearing.
Exactly.
You don't have a problem being confronted and being called out as long as it's direct.
Not at all. Please do that. Let me know what you need from me. But don't sit there and, you know, act like it's all peaches and then go somewhere else and, you know, stab me in the back. So
you're very, I want to talk about your teammates here because you've always been very big on loyalty. And I know how frustrating was it looking at Willie and looking at Seth throughout the season, knowing what they could do in practice and seeing that playing time jerked around a little bit.
It was extremely tough. My heart goes out to my teammates anyway because I know how much each and every guy works. So if you're a hard worker, I'm going to appreciate you anyway. Those two guys were extremely hard workers, and I don't think they got, you know, the credit they deserve. No matter what the situation was, they came in, was a professional, you know, did what they had to do, whatever. Some games were getting blown out by 20.
Right.
Still no love.
Fans were wondering the same thing.
We're up by 20.
Right.
Still no love. Some situation where myself or any other four in the start, we're not playing with. We need some type of energy. Give us a new look. Give us a guy that's hungry and ready to play. Still no love. So it's you can't do anything but just, you know, be frustrated for him, you know. So,
but were you, if there's a positive out of that, for example, were you, seemed like you were very proud of Willie, for example, when he finally, it seemed like he kind of cracked at one point when, and someone in the media, I forget who it was, asked him about it. Maybe it was his conditioning or why he didn't play or did he understand, and he's a rookie and he came out and said, I don't understand. Go ask coach. I have no idea. I'm better than this. You know, and you kind of saw your rookie stand up and feels like that'll pay dividends down the road.
I think he handled it in the best situation. In the best way.
Sure.
Like I said, it's unfortunate he's a rookie. So, you know, being a rookie and in those shoes, you know, you're limited on what
right.
you can say or expressing yourself. Just keep working. I mean, he knew the guys in the locker room had his back. We knew what he was capable of. We went to bat for him. I know I sat down. Me, myself, and Rajon, we sat down with coach. Like, we need Willie on the floor.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
And while with Seth, you let everybody know very clearly what where you stood with him. And, I mean, that wasn't even subtle. That wasn't even close to subtle. You were letting it be known, hey, this kid's going to be around a while.
Yeah, man. it's not even about that. Like, I mean, everybody knows he can play.
Sure.
I don't think anybody deserves that. Because if it was the situation turned around and one of the players came out and said that about
sure.
a coach,
yeah.
he would be the worst player. He'd be the worst person ever.
It was insulting. I mean, it
was
really
very
was.
Insulting.
Yeah.
Especially for a guy that works the way he does.
I know you read a lot, and I'm sure you know, everyone tries to psychoanalyze you. You've seen the articles about, oh, DeMarcus is a bad teammate, DeMarcus this, DeMarcus. I know, I mean, I've heard, you know, you have half the team over here. You know, we hang out, have a game night. Do you think you're a good teammate? I mean, I know it's a tough question to ask, but like, some of that's overblown.
I don't know where it comes from.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really understand that.
Comes from sources. Them. those people that you never hear go on record.
You know, I actually do know who it's coming from.
Right.
Actually, I know the two people
it's
coming from, but actually three people it's coming from. But
in reality, again, we had Caron Butler on the show last week.
Yeah.
I asked Caron Butler straight up on the air. I said, is DeMarcus a good teammate? And I said, and do you have issues? And does it ever get frustrating with his anger on the floor? He said, and I'm messing up the quote here, but it was, I admire his passion for the game. I love playing with him. I love going to war with him. I love him as a teammate. You hear something like that from a vet, I mean, that's what's up.
But that's as clear of a source as you need right there.
Sure.
But the sad part, people aren't going to listen to that source. They're going to listen to that negative source or those three negative sources. So it is what it is.
I remember in training camp, you were shockingly having an issue with one of the refs made a bad call. You got mad. You walked through the partition. And then I remember the scrimmage ended and you were walking back and Caron got on you. There were people there. Got on you. I forget what he said, but it was right in front of me. He said, man, you can't do that. And he was walking away. He said, don't walk away. Come back. Talk to me. And you guys went at it for a little bit. And I remember thinking, this is a little bit different now. Here's a vet coming in. And I just saw it in front of my eyes. You guys went at it. And it seemed like you respected what he said, how he handled it. And I felt really good as a Kings fan, knowing that there were going to be people like him or Rajon in the locker room that could talk to you. How valuable were they in the locker room this year?
I loved it, man. Just those two people that you mentioned, Caron and Rondo, them, those two guys were constantly on my head.
Right, like, right.
It was to the point. I mean, me and Rajon would like argue, like brother, like two brother, like we were arguing.
Sure.
It was almost an everyday thing, but at the end of the day, I knew it was love. I knew they were trying to get me to the place that I also wanted to be as a player. So I appreciated that. Like, I respected them for it. That's what I want. Like, you know, Doe and Caron, you know, they tell me these stories about how they were with their vets and, you know, just other guys that were underneath them. Like, I sit there and think, like, who can I tell? Like, who? Like, right. What kind of story can I tell? Like, you know, I mean, Doe, how he looked up to KG. I came in. I'm like, who was I looking up to? You know, you understand? So, I appreciate those guys. Like, they got me through a lot this season. I can say that.
Well, I understand it in this sense. I mean, I'm about as big of a defender of you as there is, and I admit that publicly. But at the same time, you're far from perfect, and you have things you need to work on.
One
of the things I'll often say if I am defending you is, you know, look at the no disrespect to the coaches, but look at the coaches that came in, and I believe Coach Malone is the only coach you've ever had with the Kings that's currently working in the NBA. So it's not, I mean, the question there is, what have you been surrounded with coach-wise? And then no disrespect to your teammates at all, but like you just said, what have you've had to go through, I think, 700 million teammates, 600 point guards, a bunch of coaches, a team that was moving, ownership change. I mean, at some point, that's got to be tough.
At the end of the day, it's my fault.
It's all your fault. That's why they were moving to Seattle.
At the end of the day, it's my fault, man. I'm still trying to figure out how I had anything to do with that as well, but it's my fault.
How cool was it to finish out the season and have a final game at that arena knowing it was going to be the final game, but yet they were staying in Sacramento? You've been through three of those.
I have, and it was beautiful, man. I appreciate every last one of those fans. Like, I can honestly say those are the best fans in the NBA because, excuse my language, the bullshit we put them through on a nightly basis.
Right.
I could totally understand if we came into a game and there was zero people in the arena. So they have my love, like, to the fullest. Like, I deeply love every last one of our fans. And I appreciate them. Like, they stick with us. They really stick with us thick and thin. So it's dope.
Do you ever worry? I mean, again, stuff you can't control, but you're coming into another contract year. Do you ever worry that things out of your control might happen, the business of the NBA, and you might leave unfinished business in Sacramento?
I mean, of course that's a chance. At the end of the day, this is a business.
Sure.
And those type of things happen all the time. So am I worried? Of course. Like, nobody wants to go through that. I don't think any player wants to go through – well, in some cases, some do, but
sure.
For the most part, I don't think any player wants to go through that. But it's a possibility. I mean, things like that happen, so –
You know, it's interesting, DeMarcus, because I think there are some people that would say, you know what, listen, I love the fans, I love the city, but it's been 5 years. I got to go. I need to get in the playoffs. It's not happening. We're getting another draft pick. We're getting another coach.
Mm-hmm.
I need to move on. It's best for both sides. And I get every time I ask you, I get a very, very clear impression that you very much want to stay here, and I don't know. I don't want to say you feel like you owe it to the fans, but you feel like a burden, it seems, that you want to make the playoffs with this team in this city.
It's a weird thing, like, and I have long talks with my mom about, you know, this particular situation, and you know, she just reminded me, like, ever since I started playing this game, it's never come easy for me.
Sure.
Like, ever. It was always something I had to fight through or, like, overcome. It's every time at every level, it was something I had to overcome. And it's like, she reminded me, like, every time when I was in that moment, like, I was always in these deep, like, dark moods, and she was like, you know, you're going to get through it. Keep fighting through it. But at the end of the day, I still overcame it. Like, I still made it through. She had to remind me of that. So she was like, what's the difference now? So, like, why are you acting like this is something new to you? Guess what, son? You're going to overcome this as well.
Right.
Keep fighting, and you're going to get through. So that's basically where I'm at with it. But I'm very impatient.
Yeah.
And I want it now. Like, I want it now. I don't want to keep waiting. I don't want to go through the process. I want it right now. And I've grown – since I've been here, I've grown an attachment to this city. Like, the way these people treat me, the love they, you know, they give out toward me, and, you know, vice versa. I feel like I have an attachment, and it's something that I do owe to this city. I want to be the person to bring this city back to the glory days. I want to grow myself and this city all together. I want to bring us back to those glory days. So – that's where I'm at with it. This is like a personal vendetta for me. So that's where I'm at with it.
Well, let's talk about the frustration, because there's a lot of theories. You know, you technical fouls on the floor. If there's one knock, the biggest knock on you that people say is controlling your emotions on the floor. I've asked you before. You say that's me. That's who I am.
Yeah.
And I think that's very true. I said once on the radio, it was after you got your suspension. And somebody called in and said, does he not realize that he gets one more technical foul, he's going to lose 100-something grand and be suspended? And I said, I think if the fine was $10 million, I think he probably still would have the technical, because I don't think in the moment when you're frustrated, I don't think you're sitting there thinking I'm going to get a technical foul. I think you're just pissed off.
You're absolutely right. But if it was $10 million, it'd be pretty hard to focus right on the game. I think I'm thinking about that $10 million.
You'd be walking around on Valium or something so you don't get upset all game.
Yeah.
But here, you know, and again, not to get too psycho analysis here, but I was, when I was a kid, I never cried. The only time I ever cried was in Little League when I struck out. I was an angry crier. I cried only when I was frustrated and I didn't know what to do and I didn't know how to react. And sometimes I wonder when I watch you out on the floor, not to excuse it, you're not crying out there, but I sometimes wonder if your outbursts are simply, you don't know how to, you want to break something over your knee because you're so frustrated and you don't have that ability to sometimes control those emotions because of that situation.
It's an emotional game, man.
Yeah.
I'm a guy that plays off emotions. Like, this is what I don't understand. When it's me making a positive play or I just dunked over two guys and I'm screaming in the crowd, going crazy, that emotion is okay. I'm still emotional, but that is okay.
Sure.
But when I'm emotional and it's something that I don't agree with, then all of a sudden it's a problem. But you're totally fine with the other emotional guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm an emotional guy. You got to – that comes with it.
I think the answer – I think the problem there – now, if you got technicals for the good emotions.
Technicals. I mean, trust me. I'm not a guy that's – I'm not going out there on the night. Like, I'm getting a tech tonight. Or I'm getting ejected tonight. I'm going to let this ref know how I feel. I'm not going out there doing that. But not to make an excuse for myself, what is the difference – well, I know what the difference is, but what's the difference between myself or Draymond or Blake or LeBron or whatever the case may be? What's the difference? They are winning.
Yeah. Winning playoffs, that. But at the same time, you mentioned Draymond.
If I ever did what this guy does on the court, they would probably kick me out of the league.
I said it 3 days ago. Who did he throw down in the backcourt?
Yeah, like, it's –
I said you'd have been suspended a year.
But they glorify him.
Right. Well, he's on a winning team. That's why.
But I've been quoted also.
Sure.
When you're on a winning team, everything's swept under the rug.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Then. But me, we want to sit here and focus on technicals, not anything positive, but let's focus on all the negative stuff.
I think that's a good point to turn here. It seems like you're certainly not ashamed of it. You're very proud of it. And correct me if I'm wrong. You shy away from sharing some of the things you do off the floor. You shy away from the publicity from some of the things that you do off the floor. So we're talking about technicals and all that garbage on the floor. Do you shy away from that? Because you do a lot of things off the court that are absolutely amazing.
Do I shy away
from it? It just seems like you're uncomfortable with the publicity, and you do it quiet.
I do it because it's the right thing to do.
Sure.
Like, I'm not sitting here. Let me brainstorm on how I can make these people like me. Or I do it because it's the right thing to do. I like helping people. I like putting smiles on people's faces. Like, that's me. That's how I was raised. That's my mom is the same way. She opens her door to any and everybody. And everybody calls my mom mom.
Right.
You know, so that's how I was raised. So I'm not doing it to impress anybody or to satisfy anybody. I'm doing it because that's how I was raised and that's the right thing to do.
It's kind of a catch-22 because I don't think anybody feels like when you do something good, nobody ever complains about you off the court. Nobody ever says, oh, he's got issues.
Man,
off the court.
Don't know, but
I mean, if they do, I got
a lot of off-court issues. I'm still waiting to see him as well.
Well, who was, okay, the one time I heard, I forget the guy's name, but you were supposed to be in jail by now, the tweet from Kentucky.
He's goofy.
Exactly. But, I mean, I think it's general, well, I hope it's generally known that off the court, you're there's no speeding tickets. There's nothing that you're a model citizen off the court, and you're a very charitable person. I would imagine it's a catch-22 because, like you just said, a lot of people focus on the technicals and some of the stuff on the floor, and then because you do it so quietly, you almost wish like you could kick in and go, you can't say it, but go, hey, you know, I do some good things too. Why don't you focus on those? And you can't say that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to say that. It cheapens it.
I'm not looking for an excuse for myself.
I understand. What are you looking to improve next year, biggest thing?
I try to grow in every area. Come back a better player, come back a better teammate, come back a better leader. Just everything. My goal every offseason is to come back better in every area. So everything across the board, I want to get better at it.
Which is easier for you to work at, the physical aspects of the game, the step backs, the threes, all that? Or the mental, the discipline aspects?
I would say the mental, because like I said, it's frustrating to continue to, you know, work at something and try to reach a goal and continue to fail. So it's frustrating. Like I said, I want it now.
Sure.
And that's probably the hardest part. I would definitely say the mental part.
You see the refs over the last couple of seasons giving you some calls you may not have gotten before? I'm asking.
Man.
I see on occasion, it seems like the refs are beginning to recognize your stature in the league.
I don't know about that.
and then I see other times where it's very inconsistent. Is it the inconsistency over the calls that sometimes frustrates you the most?
That's exactly what it is. It's on both ends, or the superstar treatment. I hate it.
You know, Coach Cal said, told Jason Jones of the Sacramento Bee this week, he said, if I asked DeMarcus Cousins for a kidney, he'd give it to me, but it would probably be too big for my body, but he would give it to me. What is it about, we know about your relationship with Coach Cal, obviously, your relationship with Coach Malone. Are those the two main coaches between college and now that you've been able to learn from? Have you had positive relationships outside of those two, or those are your two main guys?
I'm a high school coach that's
sure
mentor till this day. You know, he used to work here. Otis Hugh.
Okay.
Mentor still this day. So I would say coaching, Pete Carroll.
Sure.
Pete. Yeah, I would say that.
Well, let me ask you this. If whoever the new coach is next year were to go to Coach Cal or go to Coach Malone and say, hey, what's the trick here? I mean, is there a trick? What is it about Coach Malone and Coach Cal that some of these other coaches haven't been able to do? What's their big secret as to creating a good relationship with you?
It's no secret, man. Just we're here to win games. Tell me what you need from me.
Right.
If I'm not doing it, whatever your method is, let me know. Hold me accountable. I'm going to go out there and get the job done. We don't got to be friends. We don't have to be buddies. Like, let's get the job done.
So the discipline, singling you out, yelling at whatever, that's never going to bother you. It's
ever.
It's going around. And I mean, that's what we're all learning is – get in your face, say what you got to say, but do it to your face. Don't none of the political crap.
Man, I remember it was a practice with Mike, and we had to run suicides.
Yes.
So I'm like, man, Mike, come on, man. What we doing here, man? Come on. Mike, you know, Mike about 4'11".
Yeah.
Get all in my face. I can't say what he said, but
we can edit.
he ripped me to pieces. I'm like, yo, Mike, come on. I'm like, Mike, come on, man.
Right.
Now get your ass on the line. Walk over. All right, man. But, like, end of the day, you came to me after, hugged me, like, it's all love. It's all good. But, like, I'm okay with that, man. I'm okay with it.
It's amazing that we as a public have a hard time understanding that. Like if there was a camera in there and people saw what you just talked about, that there would be, oh my God, there's a rift. You know, things with Malone on his way, DeMarcus getting traded. There'd be like 17 columns about it. And maybe sometimes when you're not behind the scenes, that it seems like that stuff happens a lot more often than it does. You're together that much.
Yeah. But actually it doesn't happen as often as you think it does.
Really?
I really wish you guys could, you know, really just get, like, inside access to what happens on the day. I think people have a better understanding of, you know, the ups and downs of a season or the relationships on the team and, you know, all of that. I think the people have a better understanding. But, of course, that's never going to happen.
No. God, no. But I'll ask you, I mean, really last question about the season. We have some fun here. Was this the most frustrating season of your NBA career?
By far.
Okay. Is that because of the going into it, maybe you thought you were going to do a hell of a lot better than you did?
Yes.
Yeah.
By far.
Asked you what your favorite movie. Oh, here we go. If I were to grab your phone and throw on a random playlist right now, what are some artists that I'd hear?
Adele, Bieber, Future, Kevin Gates, Al Green, the OJs.
Okay.
I'm all over the place.
I mean, you're very comfortable in your skin. We've established. No, you know, you said you like The Notebook. You like you listen to Adele, which, by the way, I do too. I didn't mean to listen to Bieber, but I was listening to some random playlist, and that song Love Yourself came on. I was like, oh, that's a great song. And then somebody told me it was Bieber, and I still had to like it, but I couldn't go back and not like it anymore, right?
I feel you.
How was your golf game?
Nah, I'm not there yet.
Are you ever going to, you know, get to the point?
Andrew influencing me a little bit. He's working on his game, so I think it's time for me to step up.
He's getting – the first time I ever play with Andrew.
Please don't hype him up.
All I'm saying is
– don't gas him. Please don't. Don't gas him. Do not gas him.
Are we ever going to get to the point where you're playing in a couple charity tournaments here and there, having fun?
It's a possibility. I'll go out there and tear up some grass.
Have you seen the leaked pics of the new logos
for the team? I did.
What do you think?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Am I right in assuming that you don't care if the logo is a Cabbage Patch Kid as long as you're winning?
Absolutely.
So this one, see, this is the main one with the Kings, and then they got, what do you think of that lion right there?
That's dope.
Yeah, and then they got that lion, like the lion basketball.
Yeah, that's dope, man.
How excited are you for the new arena?
Extremely excited. Get some hot showers.
really?
You know me, I'm like the last guy to get in the shower after every right. game. So I'm getting in. It's like warm water. So I'm looking forward to these hot showers.
Have you been in the visitors' locker room before?
I have.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel bad. I don't feel bad for them, but I do. So I've been in some bad ones.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I've been in some bad ones.
How good are fans at heckling these days? I see you always are going back and forth sometimes. Are they good?
I mean, there's some that are good, and then there's just some that are just, like, disrespectful. Like, right. they go too far.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, the ones that are, you know, good, I have fun with those. But the guys that's, you know, disrespectful across the line, I'm not going to play the violin with you.
There's the disrespectful hecklers, but then you can appreciate maybe the ones that are creative and a little funny.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first?
This is one guy. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
One guy in Philly, it's like he holds up a sign. Is it Philly or Indy?
Well, Philly had one of the most famous hecklers of all time. I forget the guy's name. He's an attorney ball guy behind the bench.
He holds up a sign?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
So you know, during the huddle, you may wander off sometimes.
Sure.
And he always catches you, and you always catch the sign. Why are you looking at me and not in the huddle? And you try to, like, look away real quick or look down.
Right.
Like, it gets you every time.
But you saw it.
Yeah.
If you decided today that you're done, you're just done with the NBA 25, it's over, you're finished, what would your next job be?
Oh.
You ever think about that?
Nah. I don't know.
Well, you said, I mean, we started this whole thing out with you saying, and I believe it, that you have a hard time sitting around ever.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine you'd be retired and just traveling.
Nah, that's not me at all. I don't know what I'd be doing.
What was the first big thing you bought when you got to the NBA?
My mom's house.
Okay. Is there something you've ever bought that you've looked back on and went, why did I buy that?
Anything.
They're all very smart purchases.
Yeah, I don't really buy anything like crazy. I'm more into like clothes and shoes.
Sure.
Like, that's all I really buy.
You do your own clothes, or do you have like?
I know I do my own clothes.
You do your own.
Yeah, I dress myself.
You don't have people like, hey.
Not at all.
Okay. Because it seems like that's important.
I like to look nice, okay. But I don't need somebody to tell me how to look nice.
I do. I mean, I'm just telling you. I just, so you know, I need my wife. Otherwise, I'm going out in like pink shoes. I hear you play chess a little.
Yeah.
What is it about chess you like?
It's a mind game. You got to always be on your toes. You always got to be ahead, or you know the next person, know the other person's next move. So. Like, I just try to, you know, apply that game and apply it to a daily basis in my, like, on a daily basis. I feel like life is a game of chess. So,
did you ever try to take on Rondo at Connect Four?
No,
you didn't even try.
But I tried to challenge him in chess, and
he wouldn't do it.
Nah, he wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't touch him. I've heard he's legendary at Connect Four.
Nah, I seen it. It's pretty scary.
All right, I got a word association thing to finish up here. You give me a couple words when I give you a name here that first pops into your head when I mention this name. We'll start with John Calipari.
UK.
Sacramento.
Kings.
Kings fans.
Awesome.
Referees. I had to sneak that in. Okay. Rajon Rondo.
My point guard.
Willie Cauley Stein.
Bright future. Very bright future.
Twitter.
The devil.
Are you done with Twitter? Yeah. I mean, I know you. I see occasionally like stuff you're doing with your foundation, all that. You done?
I don't. That's not me.
No.
No.
Do you have any idea how? Because you're good at it, and I'll tell you what. I mean, what I mean by that is, like the whole the bushes and the
the emojis.
That people, that's like a regular thing now for everything. Like I saw somebody the other day put on like, man, I have a hurt stomach because I ate too much pizza last night. And they put like the little weed and then the pizza slice and then the weeds. I swear to God, and that's from you. I mean, you're good at Twitter, but just yeah, too much.
Too much, man.
You read it too much. Is that it? You read?
Not even. It comes straight to you. Like,
right.
You know, I'm just trying to kill dead any situation.
Okay. Because you're I'm just saying, I'm with you on that. But there's been a couple, like the Twitter thing.
And I see you on there arguing. So what do you think I want to do?
You're smart. Yeah. I'm not as smart as you. I'm on that all the time. Somebody will say, dude, you're arguing with a 13-year-old for the entire afternoon. I said, you know what? You're kind of right.
But, yeah.
But you're very good at the like creating the – what was it you said last year? It wasn't on Twitter, but you got upset and you said the marathon continues. Right, how you gonna stop God's plan? The marathon continues, and then people pick up on this stuff and they start running with it. You're aware that your words carry a lot of weight in this town.
Yeah, I do.
And maybe that's
another reason I stay quiet.
Okay. Michael Malone.
Oh my man, that's my guy.
Caron Butler.
OG.
Vlade Divac.
Smooth operator.
Vlade's cool, huh?
Yeah, he's a good guy.
George Karl. Seth Curry.
Bright future.
Playoffs.
Coming soon.
Media.
The devil.
Doing interviews.
I hate them.
Well, I appreciate it, by the way. Thank you. Okay, so there's a show called Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton, and it's on A&E. I don't think they show it anymore. And at the end, he has an old quiz that he gives all his actors, 10 questions, quick questions, to finish up every interview. I want to give it to you to finish up here. What's your favorite word?
Favorite word?
Top of the mind.
Probably bro.
What's your least favorite word? What word don't you like hearing?
I don't know.
What gets you going creatively or spiritually or emotionally? What gets you going? What pumps you up?
Music, chapel. Yeah.
What turns you off? What pisses you off?
Bad vibes, negativity, liars.
What's your favorite curse word?
Probably the F word.
What sound or noise do you love?
What?
What sound or noise do you love to hear?
I can't say that.
What sound or noise do you hate?
I hate car horns.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like it's the most disrespectful noise ever.
Like when somebody honks at you?
Yeah, like it could be somebody like honking to speak.
Sure.
And you, like it seems like disrespect. To me, it does.
Right. Do you ever honk at anybody?
Nah.
No.
Nah.
No?
Maybe.
Maybe. What profession, other than being a ball player, would you like to try someday?
I think I would try, like, baseball or something.
Really?
I would like to. I actually play on an intramural softball team, like, in Austin. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried arena softball?
Uh-uh.
No? Indoor softball?
No.
It's right over there in Roseville. I've been playing for 10 years, I swear to God.
I would definitely do it.
I'm serious. One of these times, you got to get over there. Cause
I like the box, too.
Really?
Yeah.
You went into Faber's, Uriah's gym
uh-huh.
last year, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are amazing.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
If you were being punished for eternity, what job would they ask you to do? What job would you never want to do that you see?
Probably work next to Aileen or something. Yeah. Like, if I had to look at her every day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Oh, my God.
If heaven exists.
Her and, like, Andy.
Oh, that's not your guy?
No.
No. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear said to you when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I would want to hear Grant Napier tell me he loves me.
I think that's very possible. I think that's something we can make happen.
Man, please.
What do you want to, as we wrap up, and appreciate your time, what do you want the fans to know? Going, you were frustrated. You know they've been frustrated. I've been a Kings fan my whole life.
Yeah. I'm frustrated with you guys. Okay. But it's a marathon, man. We're going to get through this. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep pushing. Positive vibes. We're going to do it together. And we're going to celebrate together when we get it done.
I forgot to ask you, who's going to be in the finals this year? Who's your picks to be in the finals?
I think the Spurs.
Really?
I think people are really sleeping on the Spurs. I think they got another notch that they haven't hit yet.
Sure.
Yeah.
Especially with, knock on wood, hopefully everything's okay with Seth.
Oh,
my
yeah,
goodness,
man.
That would change
the whole.
Hope he's
good, yeah.
Who's coming out of the East?
Oh, man. Cleveland's looking very good.
Sure.
Atlanta's looking well. And Boston, the Atlanta-Boston series right now is my favorite.
Right. It's chippy.
Yeah, that's my favorite series right now. Who else? Miami's looking very good.
Yeah.
Miami's looking very good. So, I don't know. It might be a surprise this year. We'll
okay.
see.
Everybody who sits down with me for an interview this long gets a three-pack of Sour Patch Kids. Always bribe your
– Is it everybody or just me? Because you know
just,
that's my favorite
It's just
thing.
You. I do my homework. What do you, you can't go to somebody's house. And I'm raised old school. You got to – I brought Red Vines for everybody else. And
I appreciate
Sour
that,
Patch Kids. Appreciate your time. You know what? There's sound bites with you. There's a lot of layers going on, and I know you set up some of those layers. You know, you set up some of those walls, and I totally get that. But I've been wanting to talk to you all year long because I do think Ron Artest is one of my best friends going back, way back. And I think one thing that the two of you have in common is that you're both very much misunderstood. And some of that you bring on yourself, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I found Ron to be one of the most amazingly nice, sweet, stunning people that I still to this day, you know, my kids call him Uncle Ron. And I feel like people get little snippets of you on the floor being angry and maybe after a game where you just lost by 25 and you got a microphone in your face. And I understand that, but I've been wanting to have a little fun because I keep hearing these rumors that you're a pretty deep and a pretty fun dude off the floor. And I appreciate you opening up your home and giving us a chance to talk.
I love it, baby.
Okay. Thanks. That's the Marcus Cousins.
Thank you.